Today's shir is chus for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Amana Shamra. If Amana said, Yefshel Lozuz Me Beis Bali, the halacha we know is that Amana, as long as she's an Amana, the Ksubos says is supported from the estate of the husband who passed away. As long as she doesn't ask for her ksuba. And moreover, the halacha is that she remains in the home of her husband. And therefore says the Mishnah, Amana Shamri, Efshel Lozuz Me Beis Bali, I don't want to move from my husband's home. Ein Yarshim Yachal Lo Milay, the Yarshim cannot say to her, L'chil L'Beis Avich, go to your father's home, V'anu Zonon Aysach, we will support you there. El Zayn and I saw she gets supported in the home of her husband. And not only is she supported there, but she is given a nice place where to live. There's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim. What does that mean? Some Rishonim say that if she was living in the entire home when her husband was alive, the halacha is she continues living in the entire home now after the husband passed her away. And they can't force her to just take certain rooms that will be her apartment. However, the Chalkas Mechaikik takes the approach that if they're taking this position, that it's inappropriate that she should be living in the home in the same way together with them, they're not her children, that she, if there's a tznius element that we should be considering, then the halacha is that we have to take that into consideration. There are, however, Rishonim that say that she could still take the position that I'm used to living in a big apartment, and the fact that there's a tznius issue here is something that you have to be concerned about, but that doesn't deprive me what I'm used to. Omri Efshel Lozuz Me Beis Abba, but if the woman says, I want to continue living in my father's home, I don't want to live with you, the Yarshim could say to her, Im at etzleinu, if you will be with us, yeshlach mezainus, then we will give you the support that you're entitled to. Vim ein at etzleinu, if you refuse to live with us, ein lach mezainus, then we don't have to support you. Im haisotanis, but if she's saying that the reason she doesn't want to live with them is because b'nei shehi yaldav hen yaladim, they're all young people, and therefore there's a real concern that young men and women should live together, then the halacha is we accept this explanation. Zayin and I said that they have to support a wee base of here. The Shita says that this is only obviously in a case where they're not her children, and that's why they say it's inappropriate for us who are young men, not your children, to live with you. But if they're her children, they have no right to make this consideration, this claim, because she's their mother. So all the issues that there are with men and women living together who are not related to each other would obviously not be there if they are related, and therefore such a claim, says the Shita, would not be accepted, and she has to continue living with them. Says Gemara, Tana Baran, Mishtameshes B'Madika Deshmes B'Chai Bala. She lives the way she lived when her husband was alive. B'Avadim B'Shvachis, and she uses the servants K'Derech Shemeshes B'Chai Bala, as she did when her husband was alive. The linen is the same as when her husband was alive. Everything is the same as they were when the husband was alive. There's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim. What is the halacha if the husband and wife didn't have such a great life together? And it seems that the psak is that, let's say, the husband and wife, even when he was alive, they were married, but he was overseas. They weren't living together. The halacha seems to be that whatever was their style of living while the husband was alive is the style of living that is maintained after they separate. However, there's another consideration to take into effect. And that is a halacha that we've discussed many times in our Masechta. Oily imai, veni redesimai. And that is that when a woman gets married, the lifestyle she had when she was in her father's home, specifically if the husband could afford it, must be maintained after they get married. And that lifestyle she had, because of that halacha, is continued if there's the finances for it, even after the husband passes away. And the reason that this obligation exists, because says the Gemara, that's what it says in the Ksuba, you will remain in my home, and be supported from my estate, as long as you are divorced and staying in my home, you have that lifestyle tied to you. But says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Yosef, if we follow the wording of the Ksuba, which we have so many times in our Masechta, the Ksuba says, "Bebeisi v'loy bebiksi." That's only if he left over a home. But if he only left over a hut, that's not the type of obligation that he took upon himself that she would continue to live there. And the halacha is that "Beisi" means only my home and not my hut. What's going to be halacha, asked the Rishonim, where he left the house, but it's a very small house. What's the halacha then? There's a machlokes. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that the Yarshim have to rent her own apartment. Others say that if the home that was left over, even though it's a home, it's not a hut, but it's not large enough from all them to live in it, but not obligated to rent her a new home. That, but most Rishonim are of the opinion that only a biksi, only if the home is not a home, can they make a claim that we're not obligated to keep you there. But once it's a home, the size of the home is immaterial, and even if it's impossible for them all to live there together, she could still demand that you have to rent for me another apartment. Amar Nachmi, Yisayim Shemachem Adar Almana. If the Yisayim sold out the house, Lo Yosef Lo Yiknum, it's a meaningless sale. Ask the Gemara, Omay Shnoa, Bid Ravasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Why is this different than what Ravasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan taught us? Dom Ravasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisayim Shekadim Machrum, Bin Nechassim Atem, Mash Shemachrum, Machru. The halacha, as we learned in our previous year, is that the father's estate has to be used first to support the daughters. And if there's not a lof, then the sons don't get any Yerusha. The sons, if they don't have what to live off, will have to collect staka. But the halacha is if they sold those assets before the daughters can make a claim on it, the sale is valid. So why over here, when they sold the home with Amana claims that this is where I have a right to live, do we say that the sale is invalid? Answers the Gemara, by the daughter support, that only kicks in after the father passes away. And that's why if they went and they yarshin, they inherited these assets and they sold it, halachically the sale is a valid sale. The home where Amana's living is a place that is meshubah to her from when they were alive. So her right to live in that home preceded their ownership of the home. And since her right preceded the ownership of the home, they have no right, the sale is invalid. Amar Abaye Naktinin, Mada Amana Shenafa, but what happens if that home fell down? Ena Yarshim Chayv L'Naisai. They don't need to rebuild it. If the home that is where Almana is living collapses, the Yarshim don't have to rebuild it. Furthermore, she claims, I want to rebuild it, ain't shamalai. The halacha is that she doesn't have a right to make such a claim. In other words, the right that she has to live in the father's home is only as long as that home is standing. Once that home is standing, once that home is no standing anymore, the obligation no longer is there. There's a very interesting tshuva in the Shas of Tshuvas Shara Ephraim Simon Ayin. Somebody had a friend who was a moel, and he told him, my firstborn son, you will be the moel. And then he never had a son with the wife that he was currently married to. His wife passed away. He married another woman and they had a son. Is that obligation still there? Says the Shara Ephraim, that just like we learned in our Gemara, when you have an obligation on a certain asset, that's only for that asset, it doesn't go on to somewhere further. Here too, once the wife dies, that obligation expires. And like in our Gemara, once the house falls down, they don't have to provide her another with another home. What's the halacha with a wife refurbish the house? By refurbishing the house, that's why the house continues to stand. Had she not refurbished the house, it would have collapsed. Can they say to her that she should move because it's only standing because you refurbished it? Had you not refurbished it, it would have collapsed. And if it would have collapsed, we wouldn't have to live there. So many Rishonim explain she certainly had no right to refurbish it, because by refurbishing it, she causes the shaila. The Gemara discussing in a situation where she did refurbish it. And what is the halacha then? However, I see that the Mashal explains in the Rif and the based on the Rif and the Rambam that the Gemara's question is, she says, yes, I accept, as we're learning in our Gemara, that if the house collapses, I have no rights here anymore. But is she allowed to go refurbish it? And she's saying, well, it didn't collapse. So since it didn't collapse, I have a right to fix it and prevent it from happening. And the Gemara remains with a teku. Says the Gemara, Amra, if she says, I don't want to leave my parents' home. They say, we don't have to support you there. But ask the Gemara, why are we being this way? Why don't they just have to send her the support as she is in her parents' home? Answers the Gemara, Besaile le Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, Birch Sabayis Beruba. Living in a home, the support is not as expensive as you're sending it when she's not living with there. Many Rishonim explain that the pshat is that when you have many people living in a home, they all help each other, and therefore the cost of living goes down. Another Rishonim say that there's certain fixed cost, ner le'echod, ner le'meya. That when you, the same candle for one person is 100 people. So if you're living separately, the costs are greater. Another pshat that I saw the Rishonim explain that when you have many people together, you don't have to cook, even though you don't cook as much as if the people living separately. And that's why they could say, well, if you're not living with us, we don't have to support you when you're not living here. Says the Gemara, okay, so we could understand that they have a valid claim that they shouldn't have to spend that much because the cost, they shouldn't have to spend the cost as if she's not living with them. But at least let them have to support her. So let them support her according to how much it would cost if she was living with them. Says the Gemara, Hachanami. That indeed they would have to pay. Amar of Huna, Loshon Chama Bracha. From the Loshon of Chazal, we learn how to bring bracha to our life. Loshon Chachamim, Usher, following the words of the Chachamim, we can learn how to become wealthy. Loshon Chachamim Rape, following the words of Chazal, we can learn how to become well, healthy. Bracha Damaron, Berich Sabayis, we just learned, is Beruba. Usher Tanan, Hamacha Payas Lechaveroi, if somebody sells fruit to someone else, Moshach V'lei Modat, as soon as Mashiach was done, even though they didn't actually measure, they know exactly how much sold, was being sold as a kinyan. Madav v'lay mashach, but if they measured, and they know exactly what is the amount in the steel, but there was no kinyan, v'mahaya pikeach, but let's say somebody is wants to sell fruit, and it's in his warehouse, and the person who buys it doesn't want to do the Mashiach. It's difficult to do the Mashiach at this point. And there's no Medida. It's also a lot of payers. So what does he do? But he wants that the seller, that the buyer, I the seller, want to buyer to be responsible at this point. What I do is I rent to him the spot on which these payers are on. Once I rent them the spot on which these payers are on, it becomes the property of the buyers, and therefore becomes the payers become his with a kinyan chatzar. So again, this is how Chazal give us advice how to protect our sales. Merape, how do we see that Chazal taught us refuah? The tan layolos adam chitin. A person is not allowed to chew wheat. V'necha gav ha'makos v'pesach and put it on a wound on Pesach. V'nei shemachmitzos. By chewing the wheat, you make them chametz, and by owing such chewed wheat, you're over by your raw by your matzah. So I saw many rishonim ask that this is the proof that Chazal teach us refuah. Shas is replete with different Gemaras that teach us different remedies. So why did the Gemara have to teach us and use this example that Chazal teach us refuas? So the Rishonim answer. Of course, there are many Gemaras where Chazal teach us refuas. But in those Gemaras where Chazal taught us refuah, that was the purpose of those Gemara. The purpose of those Gemaras was to teach us Hilchus refuah. The purpose of this Maimer Chazal that teaches us that if somebody chews wheat, we have a chametz issue, we have a bayiro, bayimotze issue, is not to teach us Hilchus refuah. The purpose of this Gemara is to teach us Hilchus Pesach. But the Gemara is showing us, Chazal is showing us, that even when we're learning Hilchus Pesach, even when we're learning Hilchus bayiro, bayimotze, there are also teaching us refuah. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, B'shas p'tirasoi shel Rebbe. As Rebbe was leaving the world, Amar l'bonai ani tzarich. I need my children here. I need my children because I want to give them last words of instruction. Nichtasu banav etzloi. Amar l'om, he told them a number of very important lessons. Hisharu b'kvoi imchem. Be respectful of your mother. Ner yedolot b'mekoymai. He says, where I sit, you should have a candle lit, as we're going to learn the Gemara. I'm going to be coming back here every Shabbos. My bed should be set. Yosef Chafni, Hashem and Mafrasi. These two individuals, Haim Shishuni B'chayai, they were the people who attended me when I was alive. And they will take care of me they will attend to me when I leave the world. So the Yalka Gushani says, what's Pshat in the Gemara that says, L'bonei ani tzarech? He says that as long as a person is alive, so the person, he explains, could do for himself. We could learn Torah, we could do mitzvahs, and by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, we accomplish in this world. However, once a person, explains the Yalka Gushani, leaves the world, he no longer has that ability to do for himself. Once a person leaves the world, he no longer has that ability. So what he was saying is, now, who could help me continue grow? My children, who I leave in this world, who will do Torah mitzvahs, which will be a schus for me. So he said to them, his haru b'kvayimchem, show respect to your mother. Asked the Gemara, why did he need to make such a special request? The Raisa, it's a chiv the Raisa, the Ksiv. The Torah says explicitly, Kabris of Yichvasimecha. Answers the Gemara, Eishas Av Havoi. She wasn't their mother, she was their wife of the father. But asked the Gemara, that also is the Raisa. The chiv is the Raisa. So the question is, if she wasn't their mother, why were they called? Why was she called Kfayt Imchem? So the Yavit says, because even though she wasn't their natural mother, she was the one that raised them, and that's why she was called Imchem. But the problem with that is that if she raised them as the chidah, then of course they have to show them respect. Because the Gemara Masechet Megillah says, the kol ha-megadol yosim yisayim b'toch beisoy, whoever raises someone, ma'alol avakosv kilo yoldoy. So if this woman was the woman who raised them, of course they would have to show her respect, if that's why they're called imchem. So from here says the chidah, that a husband's wife, even though she's not your mother, the appropriate thing is to call her imchem, to call her your mother, even though she's not your mother and she's not the one that raised you. But as the Gemara, still, Eishas Av Nami Deraisi, the Tanya, the Pasuk says, Kabre Savicha Vesimecha, Esavicha, we learn the Eishas Avicha, Vesimecha Zubal Imcha, Vav Yusera, and then it says, Ves, Rab Sachicha Agadl, says the Gemara, that obligation, Hani Mili Mechayim, that's only while they're alive. Avalacha Misaloi, but not after they pass away. And here, the halacha is that he asked them to continue showing this respect even after the mother was no longer alive. So the Ramban points out that the mitzvah of kibud eishes aviv or kibud baal imoy is not one of mentioned in the one of the tayag mitzvahs, because that obligation, as we're learning, only applies, is not as long as the father's alive. But if they're not alive, the obligation doesn't continue, and that's why it's not included in the tayag mitzvahs. The question is, achicha agadol, who is included in achicha agadol? Does it only mean, the Rosh discusses, is it achicha agadol mi'aviv, your paternal achicha agadol, or even your maternal achicha agadol? So Rosh's opinion is that it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, he is achicha agadol, you're obligated to support him. The Das Torah says quotes an interesting Zoyar, that the chiyuv of achicha agadol is only if you share the same mother, but not if you only share the same father, there is no chiyuv achicha agadol. And the Yarish Tavash explains, because the reason you're supposed to support, you're supposed to respect your older brother, because he could have caused damage to your mother's womb when she was carrying him, and you would have never been born. But if that's the case, it's only by if you share the same mother, not by the same father. But that opens up a different question. The question is the obligation to respect an older brother only applied to the oldest brother or to all older brothers? And there's another question, does it apply also to older sisters? So if we follow the explanation of the Yaris Tavash, that the reason you have to show them respect is because they made room for you to be born, so it would be both all older brothers and all older brothers and all older sisters. But another question is that Rebbe gave special instructions, the Gemara is teaching us, to show respect to his wife, who was not their mother, even after he's no longer in the world. But she's an Eishes Chaver. She was the wife of Rebbe. And the question here is, aren't you supposed to respect an Eishes Chaver? So from here, someone asked that the Eishes Chaver may be only applicable as long as the Chaver is alive. But if the Chaver is not alive, that you wouldn't be obligated to respect her. But most Achroinim vehemently disagree and say the obligation to respect an Eishes Chaver, the wife of a Talmud Chacham, continues even after the Chaver is no longer alive. So if that's the case, that there's an obligation to continue even after if the Talmud Chacham is not alive, so why did he have to show special respect? Because Kfar HaMemchem, she was Eishes Chaver. So I saw that the Achronim suggest that the chiv of respect to an Eishes Chavar and the chiv of respect to an Eishes Aim is not the exact same type of chiv. And what Rebbe was trying to tell them was that even though she's an Eishes Chavar and you're obligated to show respect to an Eishes Chavar, but the respect that you have to show to Eishes Aim is even greater. And therefore, since it's even greater respect, therefore, you don't have, I'm asking you to continue doing this even after I'm no longer alive. The Chasam Sofer, however, points out that the chiyuv of kavod to an Eishes Aim is kavod. We know that the Torah, when it speaks about respecting parents, speaks about two elements. It speaks about kavod and speaks about yira. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's only a chiyuv of kavod. There is no chiyuv of yira. Another thing the Rebbe asked for says, Ne'er yedol b'mkaymai, there should be a candle constantly over my bed. Shukhi yer b'ruch b'mkaymai, mitatei mitzas b'mkaymai. Says, my time, why did Rebbe give all these instructions? Says the Gemara, Kobe sham shav osla beisi. Every Friday evening he would come home. And the reason why that, by Bein HaShmoshes, why Friday evening is called Bein Shimshi, Bein HaShmoshes, because the Bein HaShmoshes of Friday evening, as we know in Halacha, is a very serious time. There are very serious halachic issues around that time, so it's called Bein Shimshi. And Rebbe would come every Friday evening. Hahi Bein Shimshi Asa Shabbata. One Friday night he came, and the neighbor came, the Kara Baba, and she was calling on the, she came to the door. Amma Amsei, And the maid said, "Shtiki, the Rebbe Yossi, be quiet. Rebbe's sitting here." Kim the Shama. Once Rebbe's heard that people are aware that he's coming back after he was no longer alive. Shuvle also. It would be very embarrassing that only he came back when he was no longer in the world. No one else came back when they were no longer in the world. Rekiva Egan the Gillian Ashas quotes a Sefer Chassidim. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh would come every Friday night home wearing his beautiful clothing that he always wore on Shabbos, not the Tachrichim, to show that he was considered completely alive and he would make Kiddush because he was considered as if he was completely alive, and since he was considered like he was completely alive, that's why halachically, even though Kameisim Chavshi, that once a person leaves the world, he's not obligated to do mitzvahs. The Rebbe, because he still looked like he was alive, was able to continue doing mitzvahs. Here we see that he came every Friday night, and the question was, when was the candle lit? Some say that the candle was lit all week long, but not Friday night. And others said that he left the candle all week. It shouldn't be obvious that he's coming special on Friday night. As our Gemara just said, the Ibn Yaakov says that it shouldn't be embarrassing for other people. Says the Gemara, who didn't have that tzchus. Yosi chafni shimin afrosi, heim shimshuni b'chayi, v'heim shimshuni b'maisi, somim ne b'hai al-mokomer. He said, they thought it meant that they who took care of him in this world should also be the ones should take care of his kvura. But says the Gemara, Kivin the Chaz of the Kadam Arsai Larise, but now that we saw that he died before, that they died before he did, Amri, they understood what he meant was, Shmamin al-Hu al-Mahud Kamar. He meant in the next world, that they should be my attendants in the next world. Vaida Mahachi. This, that he made this announcement, that there was something wrong with him, with them. And the only way they survived was because of him. So the Gemara shows that they were really great people. And the reason they died young was only because Rebbe needed them in the Olam HaEmes to take care of him, to attend to him. Amalahem, l'chachmi Yisrael nitzaruch. So Rebbe said, I need the Chachmi Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Nechne su'etz l'chachmi Yisrael. Amalahem, al tisbeduni b'ayoris. Don't make a hesped for me in the small cities. only in the large cities. Yeshiva, yeshiva, and make a yeshiva after 30 days. Don't continue making hespedim. And then he continued telling them, and everything will be explained in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem. Shimon b'ni, Shimon my son, Chacham, should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Gamliel b'ni, Nasi. Gamliel should be, Shni b'ni, Chacham should be the Chacham Adar. Gamliel should be the Nasi. Achanina b'chama Yeshiva should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Atas b'duni b'yor, so the Gemara explains it. K'sav min name, Shem Tirchu d'kamar. He's saying it because it'll be a big tircha to have every little city make its own hesped. That's why I said, just make big hespedim, so it shouldn't be a big tircha. Kivin chazi, the kazbik karachiv, the kazbik kol alma, amr shmamin amishim yukrud amr. He meant kavod ha-Taira. And what he meant was that if there'll be many small hespedim, it will show a lack of kavod ha-Taira, that he only had small hespedim. And since he was so concerned for the Kavod HaTaira, he says, I'd rather have one big hespedim. So Masha asks, the Gemara Masechta Soita, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, teaches us, Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anova. Rebbe was the paradigm of modesty, and now he's looking for a big hesped. So from here we see that Anova is not inconsistent with Kavod HaTaira. And when there's Kavod HaTaira, the halacha is that on the line, that supersedes everything else. The Din Yaakov gives a different explanation. He says that even though Chacham Shemacha Kvoid Machal, a Tamach Chacham can give up on his Kavod, that's only as long as he's alive. But when he's no longer alive, he can no longer give up on his Kavod. And what the Gemara meant to teach us was that since Rebbe was making this, giving this instruction for when he was no longer in the world, he has no right to give up on his kavod. Another explanation that I saw is that even though Rebbe was a Talmud Chacham, and the halacha is Chacham Shemach al Kvoidoi, Kvoid Machal, a Talmud Chacham can give up on his kavod, but a Chacham cannot give up a Nasi Shemachal and Kvoid Machal. A Nasi can't forgive his kavod, and Rebbe was a Nasi as well. Rebbe also said, "Hashiva yeshiva lachem shloishim yoyim. Make yeshiva after 30 days. Don't continue my hespedim past 30 days." What was Rebbe trying to say with this? He says, "The la'idif of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm no greater than Moshe Rabbeinu." And by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, "The yifku bnei Yisrael Moshe ba'avas moyev shloishim yoyim." So just like Moshe Rabbeinu's hesped was only for 30 days, so too by me, says the Gemara. Those 30 days they set a spade them by even day and night. After the 30 days, either they set a spade them by day and they learned at night, or they did this for 13 days. They didn't want to completely stop the spade them. But on the other hand, they didn't want to stop the learning, and that's why they did it some part. Part of the day were learning, part of the day they were saying hespedim. So Meshech Chachma says, why indeed was the hesped of Moshe Rabbeinu limited to 30 days? And even Rebbe, who was concerned about the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu, had hespedim to some degree past 30 days. So the Meshech Chachma says that the Gemara in Masechta Temura, the Avtez Vav Amabei says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, the Shtachu were forgotten, Gimel Alofim Halachas, 3,000 Halachas. And the Gemara says that Yeshua Ben Nun could not bring those Halachas back. So the death of Moshe was something that everybody felt every day. Since it was something that everybody felt every day, there was no need to make a separate hesped every day. However, the death of Rebbe, as profound as it wasn't felt as much as when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, and that's why Rebbe gave this instruction on one hand, but also continued having spayed them past the 30 days. Says the Gemara, we remember that Shkafta the Rebbe, the day the Rebbe passed away, Nafka Baskova Amra. A bas kol emanated and said, "Kol dahava bashkaf to the Bei Rebbe. Anybody who participated in Rebbe's levaya mezumen hu lechaya olam haba." Says the Gemara, "Who kaimus? There was a person who did laundry. Have kol yomav oskamei. He would come to Rebbe every day. Hahu yoma loyasa. That particular day, he didn't come to Rebbe's house. Kivin the shamahachi. He heard this bas kol and he heard that the bas kol said that anybody who participated in Rebbe's hesped will have olam haba, but he didn't participate. So he was so distraught, solak le'igra v'nafal le'igra l'arvames. He went to the roof and he fell and died. Yosef baskov amra, afu kaivis mezum l'chai olam haba, he too will have olam haba. So of course, this is a very difficult gemara. We know that the halacha is that a person who commits suicide doesn't have olam haba. So how did he have olam haba? So some want to say that he didn't commit suicide. He just went up to the roof and was very distraught. And because he was on the roof and distraught, he lost track of what was going on and he fell off the roof and died. The others say, the Barsha wants to, and the Barshvus Yaakov want to suggest that if somebody does tshuva because somebody does commit suicide, and of course we shouldn't say this, but if somebody does tshuva, commit suicide because he's trying to do tshuva, such an individual is not considered a ma'abed atzma l'das. That person is not considered somebody who committed suicide. Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal uses this gemara also, that if somebody was unfortunately experiencing terrible depression, and in that experience, he unfortunately took his life. Maybe that also, says Rabbi Yosher, based on this Gemara, is not considered ma'abed atzma l'das. He's not considered a person who commits suicide that all the halachas should apply to. So Rebbe said, "Shimon b'ni Chacham, my comer, her comer." So the Gemara, this is what he said. Abi Shimon b'ni Chacham, even though Shimon, my son, is very wise, Gamliel b'ni should be a nasi. Amr Levi, so Levi said, "Tzricha l'meima," doesn't need to be said. Amr Shimon b'Rebbe, "Tzricha l'cha u'matalaseich." It needs to be said for use for people like you and people like you who are lame. We know that Levi was lame, and of course the Mefarshim asked, even if he was lame, is that the way he should be addressed? So the Ben Yoyada explains that the Gemara Masechta Taina Staf Chof Hayom and Aleph teaches us, Loilam Ayatich Adam Dvarim Kapali Ma'ala. A person should not speak disrespectfully towards Hashem. Shrei Adam Godla Hitiach Dvarim Kapali Ma'ala. There was a great individual that spoke disrespectfully, Vitlu. And he became lame. And who was that Levi? And the Gemara explained, because Levi made a Tanis because there was no rain. And Levi then said, "Ribbono shel Olam, Alisa, you went up, you shafted b'marim, and you're sitting in Shemayim, v'ein at merachmei al banecha, and you don't have rachmanus on your children." And that caused that he should become lame. Now, again, when Levi was questioning to Rebbe's position, so Rebbe said to him, "You learned already what it means to speak disrespectfully. Don't speak disrespectfully. The repercussions are serious." Says the Mamai Kamalei. Why was Reb Shimon so upset? Because the Pasuk says that this Melachos Nosan LeYairim Kiyu HaBechor. The Pasuk says that the Bechor is Memala Mokim. So of course Gamliel should be the Nasi. Says the Mara, Hahu Memala Mokim Avayis of Hava. Where does that halacha apply when the Bechor is competent, qualified? For Gamliel, ain't a mamal makam of Yosef. But Gamliel was not on that level, and therefore he was the person he questioned that appointment. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, Rebbe Maitama Avad Hachi, why did Rebbe indeed appoint him to this position? If he wasn't worthy? Says the Gemara, even though he wasn't necessarily as great as his father, however, in Chachma, B'yiras Chayv Malam Makom Avaisavo. He was in Yerushmayim on that level. And since he was in Yerushmayim on that level, that's good enough. So the question asked Achrayim is that the Gemara that we quoted earlier, in Masech the Saita, says that Mishmeis Rebbe bought lo Yira. That when Rebbe died, there was no Yira. So how can we say that he was equal to Rebbe in Yira? Says the, so the Rishash explains that he wasn't, of course, on the same level of his father in Yerushalayim. But amongst all the brothers, he was the greatest Yerushalayim. And that's why he was given this position. Chanina b'chama yesh b'rosh. Says the Gemara, l'kibla Rav Chanina. Because Rav Chanina, even though Rebbe left a tzavo, that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva, he wasn't ready to accept that position. Shai Rebbe Ephes, Godman Manishtei Shana Mechza, because Rebbe Ephes was 2.5 years older than him, and he didn't feel that he should take this position as long as Rebbe Ephes is alive. Yosef Ephes Bereshah, Rav Ephes was the Rosh Yeshiva, V'yosef Chanina Avroi, and Rav Chanina sat outdoors, V'yosef Levi, V'yosef Gabei. That Rav Chanina should not sit alone, Levi sat sat along with Rav Chanina, that he shouldn't sit alone. Noch nefshed Rav Ephes, so Rav Ephes passed away, V'yosef Chanina Bereshah, and Rav Chanina was now appointed Rosh Yeshiva. V'loyev L'Levi Inish L'Mesa Gabei, Levi had no one to sit outdoors with, V'kosel Bavel. So that's why Levi went to Bavel. Because, and he didn't want to go into the Beis Medrash because Rav Chanina wasn't greater than him, not in Torah, no older than him, and he didn't want to, therefore, subserve himself to Rav Chanina, but he didn't want to be disrespectful, he just moved to Bavel. They reported to Rav that a great individual is coming to Nadar Mitlan. He's a person that limps. The Darish Kalila Shari, and he says that a woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing a Kalila. There's a discussion in Masechta Shabbos, what jewelry a woman is allowed to wear on Shabbos, because Chazal were concerned that they may take off the jewelry and to carry it in the street. But this is such a significant piece of jewelry that only very wealthy women wear, and there's no concern that they would take it off in the middle of the street. And therefore, he said in the Shia that you're allowed to wear this jewelry on Shabbos. Amar Shmami no nafsh the Rav Ephes. So Rav said, this must be proof that Rav Ephes passed away. And now, V'yosef Chanina Bereshah, they appointed Rav Chanina to be Rosh Yeshiva. V'loy havelei l'Levi inish l'mesa gabei. Now Levi has no company. V'kosu, that's why he came to Bavel. Ask the Gemara V'ema, why didn't Rav extrapolate? The Rav Chanina Nachnafshi, the Rav Chanina passed away. Rav Ephes to the Yosef, and Rav Yosef is still the Rosh Yeshiva. But Levi still doesn't have anybody to sit with. And that's why Vikasi came to Bavel. Answers the Gemara. Levi would be, to Rav Ephes, he would be subservient. Because the only reason Rav Chanina wasn't, but Levi would have been. He was sure that Rav Ephes died before Rav Chanina. Because since Rebbe had said that Rav Chanina should be Rosh Yeshiva, and it was only because of respect that Rav Chanina refused to become Rosh Yeshiva as long as Rav Ephes was there, it must be that he's going to get his turn. The Ksibu, because the Pasuk says regarding Tzadikim, the Tigza Amav Yakim Lach, whatever they say will happen. But ask the Gemara, Vahaya Rav Chia, and maybe Rav Chia was the one that was appointed to Rosh Yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Nach Nafshe, Rav Chia was no longer alive. Bar Rav Chia, how can we say Rav Chia was no longer alive at that time? That's why we say Rebbe couldn't have possibly appointed him to Rosh Yeshiva. V'amar Rav Chia says, Ani re'isa kivish Rebbe, I saw Rebbe's kever, v'radati I love the mas, and I cried there. So we see clearly that he was alive. Says the Gemara Epech, we have to turn it around. And you have to say that Rebbe was not speaking about, Rav Chia was not speaking about Rebbe's kever, rather Rebbe was speaking about Reb Chia's kever. And Nira Isi says says Rav Shaul Alter, the Wat Pshat Aniri Isi, when you see a great person die, the Gemara Masech the Shabbos says, Kol Amayu Demayus Alon Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Saifram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts those tears and puts them in a special treasure house. Aniri Isiv, you have to recognize the loss that we experience when a great person dies, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person in V'hayra Lav Demas, that those are the tears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts. Says the Gemara Amar Chia, also Yosh Rebbe Batal Kedusha. So we see that Rav Chia was alive against says the Gemara Epech. Ask the Gemara Tanya, Shchal Rebbe, Rebbe got ill. Nichnas Rav Chia Etzloi Matzah Shabaycha. So Rav Chia visited him and found him that he was crying. Amalei Rebbe Menei Atabaycha. Why are you crying? Vatanya Meis Metoch Aschoik. Someone who passes away when he's happy. Simen Yafaloi. So the Ben Yoyad explains that somebody who's happy when he passes away, he realizes that everything he did in this world is not what we were here for. That the main thing is the Olam HaEmes, and that he prepared himself in a person who dies that way, that person shows that he recognizes that he accomplished what he was supposed to do in this world. And the Chasam Sofer explains. He says there was a melech, there was a king who appointed someone to be the watchman over his treasure houses. And he told him, you could take whatever you want from the treasure houses for yourself. The person wasn't so careful to take as much as he could have. So on one hand, he's happy that he made the king wealthier. He didn't take everything away. But he's upset that he could have had more. A tzaddik who spent his days doing what he was supposed to do in this world, he's happy for what he did for an accomplishing of using every moment of his life in a possible way. Panav l'mala, if he's facing up, simen yafaloi. Panav l'mata, simen Raloi. If somebody's looking up, again, it shows that a person, when he leaves the world, goes back to where he's coming. So if he looks up, means his life was really a life of Shemayim, of Ruchnius. If he looks towards the bottom, he's saying, my life was a life of Gashmius. Part of Klapi Am, if he's facing people, summon Yofaloi. Klapi Akaisel, if he's facing people, it's good. Part of Klapi Kaisel, then he's Simen Raloi. If he's facing people, that shows that he had influence on other people. That's why Simen Yafaloi. But if he's looking only at the wall, that's a proof that he spent his whole life only thinking about himself. And that's why it's considered Simen Ra. Part of Yerukin, Simen Raloi. If his face is green, it's a bad simen. Part of Sumiv Adumim, his face is glowing, Simen Yafaloi, it's a good saying, because the Ben Yoyada means that all the tzaddikim are coming to greet him. Meis Be'er of Shabbos, Simen Yafaloi. He's going to go right into Shabbos Kodesh in the Olam Emes. But Matzah Shabbos, Simen Raloi. Meis Be'er Yom Kippurim, Simen Raloi, because it's a simen that he was only nifter, that he was nifter before he could do tshuva. Matzah Yom Kippurim, but if he is nifter on Matzah Yom Kippur, then it's a simen toivloi, that he's Matzah Yom Kippur, it's a simen yafaloi, that he was nifter when he already did tshuva. But I saw that Reb Chaim Oiz's grandfather, Moshe Arileb Grudinsky, was nifter in Erev Yom Kippur. He says that if somebody, when the Gemara is saying this, it only means if you were nifta Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon, not Erev Yom Kippur in the morning. Meis Michal Mayim, Simen Yafaloi. Memnei Shurum and Tzadikim, Misas Michal Mayim. Most Tzadikim died from stomach ailing. Amalei Anon Atar Mitzis Kabachina. So, because by dying from the stomach ailments, it means that his entire body were, so to speak, cleared out. So they asked him, Rebbe had all of these great reasons. Why are you crying? I'm not a Torah mitzvah, and I'm dying because of the Torah mitzvah. But we see again that Reb Chiya was around when Rebbe was alive when Rebbe died. Reb Chiya was a person who was very involved in doing mitzvahs. Rebbe Savalai Fagri, and that's why Rebbe said, I'd rather him be busy with his mitzvahs than he should be Rosh Hashiva. Says the Mavahani, the Chazir meant to Reb Chanina Reb Chiya. When Reb Chanina Reb Chiya were disagreeing, Amalei Reb Chanina Reb Chiya, Bahadi Didi Minstas, you're arguing with me, then Chas V'Shalom Neshtaka Torah Yisrael, if Chas V'Shalom people would forget the learning, I have the ability, Bahadin Leib Befapule, I could bring back the Torah. Amalei Reb Chiya, but I'm even greater. And not Avdi Delam Shtaka Torah Yisrael, I caused the Torah should not be forgotten. Da'ai Sina Kitna V'Shadina, I brought linen and I soaked it. Umagad linen nishbi, and I made nets from that linen. But tzadina tavya, and with that, I caught animals. Umachinul bisul yasmi, so that the yisoymi should have food to eat. Berichna megilta memashka de tavya, and then I took the hide of those animals and I made scrolls. But sakin and the masud lesba mikra de dayadiki, and I came to a city where there's no Yeshiva, the Kasimna Khamisha Khamisha Yonki, and I wrote Khamisha Khamisha Torah for five children, Masnisa Shidr Mishnah Siddhi Yunuka, and I taught Shisha Siddhi Mishnah to six children, Amri Asni Sadruch L'chavruch. After I taught each child his say what he taught him, now I told him, you teach your friend what you learned. V'anadam Rebbe, Kamag Dol Masachia, Amalei Shimon Rebbe, Afila Mimcha, Amalei In. Even greater than you, Amalei Reb Shmuel Reb Yosef Afil Ma'aba, and even greater than your father Reb Yosef Amalei Chas V'Shalom Loiteis Zayis B'Yisrael. There's nobody greater than my father. So of course the Mefarshim ask, why did he have to go through all this bother of shechting the animals and making the paper in itself? He could have bought paper. He could have bought animal. Says the Gra, if we want Talmidim to learn and grow in Torah, not only the teaching of the Torah has to be done in the best possible method, but every drop of preparation of the Torah, the achon of a mitzvah, we learn from here, the preparation for a mitzvah is as important as the mitzvah. And therefore, even the way the sefer was printed and written, all of that was taken into consideration in preparing Talmidei Chachamim for the future generations. Amalem, so Rabbi said, "Bnei Katan Nitzarach." So Rebbe said, I need my youngest son. Nichnas Rav Shimon Etzlai. So Rav Shimon comes to him. Maslai Sidri Chachma. And he taught to him the Sidri Chachma that one needs to know how to be a Chacham. Amalei Lebni Galani Tzorach. Nichnas Rav Gamliel Etzlai. Maslai Sidri Nasiyas. And he taught him what it needs to be a Nasi. Amalei Nasiyach Beramim. A person should be a great person, Talmud Chacham, should go with a strength. Zroit Mar B'Talmidim. It says, Demar Eini V'Ksivis, Yir Hashem Yichabit. B'Amim Az Yishafet Melch Yehuda. Shai Roi Talmud Chacham. When Yishafet the king saw Talmud Chacham, my Oymim Mekisa would get up from his chair. U'mechapkoi Menashkoi V'Karlei Rebbe Mari Mari. So you see that you have to show Talmud Chacham covered, not say, I'm the king. Like Kasha Habit, Tzina Habit Peresya. Says Demar Tanya, Rebbe Mutl B'Tzipari. Rebbe died in Tzipari, Mokim Machalim Beisharim. V'tanya Tzadik Tzadik Tirdav, Halach Ach Rebbe LeBeisharim. So we see that Rebbe lived in Beisharim Eloi Tzipuri. Answered him, Rebbe Beisharim Hava. Rebbe actually lived in Beishara. El Kivin the Chalish, but once he got sick, Amtiu LeTzipuri, they brought to Tzipuri the Medallia Basim Yaveira. It's a place that has very good ear. That's why it's called Tzipari, a place where the birds rest. And what he was trying to say, they were trying to make that he should, when he was not well, be in a place that had a good environment. And since he lived in a place that had a good environment, that's why people will be able, that's why maybe it'll help him get better. So here the Gemara says, because even though Rebbe and his children were Anovim were modest. Modesty does not mean that a person should not show, be strong when he has to be strong. But then I saw a beautiful letter that Rav Hutna Zatzal wrote to one of his Talmidim who was appointed to be a Rav of his city. He said that in Europe, every small town had a clock, had a watch on top of a tower. And the reason they did that, he said, was because when you have a watch in a tall, prominent place, A, everybody could see the time, and nobody could touch that because it's so hard to get up to that top. He says that is the job of a Rav. On one hand, the Rav has to be prominent in a place that everybody could see him and everybody could learn from him and everybody can emulate him. But on the other hand, he has to be also in a place that he can't be manipulated, that you can't move him, that he's in a place that he's untouchable. That's what Rebbe told his son. If you want to be a successful Meir de Asra, if you want to be a successful leader of your town, Nahoig Nesiyoscha Baramin. Act in that way. Act with that prominence. Act in a way that you should be emulated and not manipulated.